The Hainesboro manager gives notice, and some rural Southeast students are left without a school this year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Hainesboro manager Mark Ernest submitted his resignation this week, giving 60 days notice, meaning his last day on the job will be October 15th. Ernest previously submitted his resignation in March of last year. Before his scheduled last day in June, he requested to stay on the job until July 2013, and the assembly approved. Then, in October, Ernest suggested another 12-month contract extension until July 2014, and the assembly approved. Word of Ernest's resignation was just making the rounds to borough staff and assembly. It did not come up at Tuesday's assembly meeting, which adjourned before the manager's report was given. The assembly will continue its meeting on Wednesday evening because it did not get through its agenda Tuesday evening. Ernest is planning on retiring and moving with his wife and young son to Reno, Nevada, to pursue educational opportunities for his son.
I feel comfortable that we have a great staff in place. We have a great assembly, a great mayor. And I think that all the pieces are in place to keep the progress moving forward, and very comfortable with that.
Ernest has been on the job 3.5 years. The Tenneke School has been closed for this year, but residents of the Chickanoff Island community hope to turn things around for next. The Chatham School District includes schools in Tenneke, Cleckwan, Angoon, and Gustavus. With only 3 local students enrolled, the Chatham School Board voted last week to close the Tenneke School, but that closure is temporary for now. The district will maintain the building and other school assets for the next 9 months. Tenneke residents, meanwhile, will be looking for a solution. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Chatham School Board's vote on August 6th was a bullet that Tenneke has dodged before. 2 times in the last 27 years, the school's enrollment has dropped below 10, and the board decided to keep the school open. This year, Tenneke could muster 3 resident students and 2 foreign exchange students. Gordon Chu chairs Tenneke's advisory school board. It developed a 9-page plan to operate the school at a bare-bones level, but Chu says it was probably too little too late to avert closure.
The thing that hurts us the most is that we came up with a pretty exciting reduced budget, going basically laying everybody off but the teacher, with all kinds of volunteers, and that there was some money in the district's reserve fund, but they decided to use it for a roof for a building in Angoon.
Scott Butterfield is the superintendent of the Chatham School District. He says student enrollment is down district-wide and state funding is dropping as a result. He says the money wasn't there to keep Tenneke open with less than 10 students.
Our unrestricted fund balance is not such that even on a reduced basis, we would have much of any unrestricted fund balance left if we kept the school open for 1 year, and that if we had an emergency of some kind, we would have nothing to use.
The Tenneke School's budget is about $270,000 a year. The painful thing for the district, according to Butterfield, is that closing the school doesn't really represent a significant savings.
This is tough financially even with the school being closed. We still have a tenured teacher that works in Tenneke. We are obligated contractually to employ that teacher somewhere. So we've got that cost to bear, plus all the fringe benefits to cover. We probably have to hire somebody to work 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, or something like that, to check the building, make sure it's still secure, nothing has happened. We still have to maintain minimal heat. All of those costs are going to add up
to something on the order of $120,000. The tenured teacher, by the way, is Gordon Chu's wife, Ann Connolly. Butterfield says the district is going to keep everything in the school, all the supplies, electronics, and other equipment. If more than 10 students have filed an intent to enroll form by next spring, the school will reopen the following autumn. 10 students is an important bar for rural schools because that's where a multiplier kicks in the state funding formula. In a nutshell, 10 students are the financial equivalent of 39 students. That's why dropping below 10 becomes so treacherous. Tenneke has 3 kids enrolled for next year who will have to make other plans. There are 4 other students in Tenneke who have opted for homeschooling and chose not to enroll. Additionally, there were two foreign exchange students planning to enroll. That all still adds up to only 9. If the Tenneke School remains closed for 24 months, Chu says the $4 million building, which occupies city land, may revert to city ownership. That is not an attractive prospect given the expense of basic maintenance. Chu says the goal now is to get to 10.
We've been in this position before, and the really impressive thing, I think, is that with our outreach to bring families here and to increase our employment base and to increase our student count has largely been successful over the last 8 years that I've been on the board. We've kept the school open against all odds.
Tenneke has made successful recruitment efforts in the past, a fire chief and his two kids, for example, based on the lifestyle the town offers. He says creative problem solving is where we're at right now. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Scuba diving emergencies can no longer be treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau. After more than 30 years, the facility discontinued its hyperbaric chamber program and recently removed the 13-foot chamber. Now, the closest chambers for public use are in Anchorage or Seattle. Lisa Fu has this report.
Recently retired physician William Palmer remembers when the hyperbaric chamber came to Juneau.
I was diving with some of the divers from the NOAA lab, and it came up in discussion that if there was a dive accident of any significance in the local waters, there was no backup whatsoever.
Palmer was sent to Florida in the late 1970s to study undersea medicine and hyperbaric chamber operation. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the City and Borough of Juneau in 1980 and loaned a chamber to Bartlett Regional Hospital. Douglas Schleiger is the dive center manager for NOAA.
Our interest was to have a chamber there so if something were to happen, our people could get treated there. I mean, that was our own vested interest in it, and then it was also a service to the community and local divers.
Scuba divers are at risk of decompression illness, also known as the bends, which can be caused by a fast ascent, a deep dive, or a long dive. Pressurized oxygen is pumped into a hyperbaric chamber to recreate the underwater environment. Over a period of time, pressure in the chamber is brought to a normal atmospheric level. Without immediate treatment, a serious case of decompression illness could lead to paralysis or death. Over the decades, the chamber at the hospital was also used for carbon monoxide poisoning and healing wounds. Dr. Palmer says within the first 6 months of its arrival, the chamber was used to treat 10 cases of monoxide poisoning. In recent years, use of the chamber dropped. It was last used in December 2011 for wound care, which requires 20 sessions in the chamber.
And prior to that, I think it was 12 months since they had anyone in the chamber.
That's one of the reasons the hospital decided to discontinue the program. Bartlett Respiratory Therapy Director Robin Free says another is cost. The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services surveyed the hospital last June and said a fire suppression system had to be put in place to continue running the chamber.
That was going to be $30,000 to $50,000.
The hospital was in charge of maintaining the chamber, but regulations changed, requiring the work be done by NOAA-certified technicians 3 times a year. Each visit would cost the hospital $3,400.
We tried to talk to NOAA and say, hey, it's your chamber. You know, if you want it compliant and run a certain way, then we need some help from you. And they were like, well, we can't do that. And so there was nowhere to go with that.
Bartlett emergency physician Alan McPherson was the main provider of hyperbaric care. He says running the chamber required a crew of 5.
There would be the doctor who had some training or experience in hyperbaric medicine, and that generally would be me. There would be the dive supervisor. You'd have a timekeeper. You would have an outside tender to run the levers and an inside tender to watch the patient.
Dr. Palmer worked at the hospital when the chamber program started and when it ended.
I thought it was really, really sad to see, even though infrequently used, this very high-tech, unusual emergency facility just fall away. The point is really that when you need it, you need it.
NOAA Dive Center Manager Schleiger says he would prefer to keep the chamber in Juneau.
If there was a way to work it out, certainly I would do that if it's feasible, because our divers have not gone away. They're still there.
NOAA has 7 divers in Juneau. State of Alaska agencies have about 30 in Southeast. The state's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission website lists more than 430 active permits for Southeast dive fisheries. And there's diving for recreation, commercial work, and search and rescue. Kyle Hebert is dive safety officer for Alaska Fish and Game. Bartlett's chamber was once part of the state safety plan. Now that includes a flight transfer to Virginia Mason Hospital in Seattle. Hebert doesn't know how much money that would cost the state.
We're probably more concerned about the cost in terms of likelihood of serious injury or death.
The hyperbaric chamber was moved out of Bartlett Regional Hospital 3 weeks ago and now sits in NOAA storage in Juneau, waiting to be shipped to Seattle. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Lisa Fu and Robert Woolsey for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.